better roper. What's his name? Who? Dustin, come here. How does this tighten down? Okay, I just found him out there. He's a new talent. That's a legal head kick. That's a half a head.
Okay, but.
All right. Norman's going to give us a long looper. Yep. All right, Justin. I just taught him 5 minutes ago out there. Watch this guy. He's talented. He likes that rope. Yeah. All right, here we go. There you go. That's a legal head catch, ladies and gentlemen. Clean horn catch. One week he's been roping. Anybody want to rope? Any of you adults out there care to challenge the champs? That's all right. We have gifts for all. Oh, yeah. Come on up. Step up. You're on a fast horse. Woo! Hey, that almost did it. This time, slow it down. Slow it down when you throw it. Don't sling it. Push it on. Sure. All it's got to do is be as wide as the horn. Now, just this time, see it. Look at it. Push it on it. Hey, getting better. The champion says if you'll put the rope around the right horn first, it'll automatically go to the left. So what you want to do is cover that horn. Did he say any dummy can do it? Roping dummy, you know. All right, here we go. We got another girl.
What about me?
Come on up here. We make no light of our sport because it is a sport, team roping, and thousands of dollars are paid out. Matter of fact, this December in Las Vegas, they'll have over $10,000 go-rounds that Cowboys will be competing for, top 15 of the world, and it's over $1 million payoff. So you can make a good living if you're good at it and learn how to rope. And it all begins here. That's a legal head catch. Legal head catch. That'll work. All right, hang around. We're going to do it. All right. Go ahead and give him a bigger loop, but it's easier to swing. Yeah, you got you're on a fast horse. Oh, almost. All right. Nope, that don't count. It's got to go at least around one horn.
And
back around. But you got to do it every time. Ropes are also famous in the West for hanging bad guys, too. So you got to be careful about the rope. It can make you money and it can take you.
All right, stick around. We got plenty of prizes.
All right, we got one more. All you gotta do is do what? Copy that. There you go. Oh yeah. Come on, step up. Now swing it. Yeah, whoa. All right. We got another chump coming up here. All right. Champ. I'll challenge anybody left-handed. Oh.
Okay, one final contestant, and then we'll give away these fabulous prizes. Let's have all our contestants line up across the end of the stage. one more contestant. We have one more contestant? Where did he leave? There he is. Give away the prizes. And how about if we start with this fella here? What's your name? Sean? Okay, Sean? How about this? Magic set of six shooters. Thank you, Sean. Okay. The young lady in the blue t-shirt. Festival child. I like that. What's your name?
Claire.
Claire. How about a match set of pink six shooters with a sheriff's badge? Oh, boy. What's that? Okay, the two young ladies, don't run away. I have a prize. It's a joint prize. You'll have to share it. One of you come up here. Both of you come up. You'll have to share this prize. This is a, because we have eight contestants and seven prizes. This is a Cowgirl Up bracelet. It says Cowgirl Up. And this goes to support the National High School Rodeo Association. Thank you very much. You'll have to trade off. Which one of you guys owns a truck? You own a truck? Okay. I have a prize for you. Come on up, sir. What's your name? Vincent. This bumper sticker says, if this truck was a horse, I'd have to shoot it. Thank you, Vincent. Congratulations. Okay. In the black shirt. Yes, come on up. We have a cowboy up bracelet. That goes to support the National High School Rodeo Foundation. In the red shirt,
the lefty.
Future Champs coloring book. Oh, boy, a lefty. And in the camo hoodie.
That's our champ.
Your name? Dustin. Dustin Heisen, right? You get the big prize. I think it's the best prize. A PBR cowbell. All right. We know what PBR is, right? Professional bull riders. Yeah, right. There's the next, Adriano Marias. Or Justin McBride.
Yeah.
Stick around, folks. We got a cow dog workshop coming up, a narrative. So, and then after that, we got some good country music. With Wayne Martin and friends, and we got a Tex-Mex dance party. Let's hear it for Willie and Norman Johns, our roping experts. Okay, we're going to get started here. On my far right, which is your left, we have Mr. Billy Davis. From the big city of Kenansville, Florida.
Yeah.
And he is the ranch foreman at the Rawlins Blue Cypress Ranch. something like 45,000 acres and
7,000
head of mama cows. And Mr. George Altman from the big city of Wauchula, he lives right downtown. He's a city slicker. And George is here demonstrating his buckskin whip making, but he also makes the other kind of whips. Jack, do you want to join us? Could you join us? We're going to talk about
Jack.
Get them cattle in a group where your dogs can hold them, and that saves your horse. Saves your horse a lot. They're a help to the cattle industry, as far as I'm concerned.
Jack, can you tell us about your dogs and where you got them? He's got it. He's got the preacher's mic. Cordless.
I've got a mixture of dogs. I've had some Calahoula leopards, but most of them you couldn't put your hands on unless you wanted to get bit, so I didn't fool with them too long. But the black mouth yellow cur, like the dog I've got over there, is mainly what I have now. And I'll tell you a true story. It happened last weekend. Billy was talking about hogs and deer. My son's a hunter, and I gave him a puppy. It's probably about half grown now. Last weekend, he was muzzleloader hunting, and he wounded a buck and got away, and he trailed him for a couple of hours and ran out of blood and gave up, went back home, and he got thinking about it. He said, well, I'm going to take this puppy out there. And he was embarrassed to call me and tell me he wounded a deer. So he took that puppy out there, and that dog went straight to that deer about 100 yards away and baited him up. He wasn't dead. And he thought he had killed the deer. He didn't know where he hit him. So he didn't take his gun with him, which a good hunter always does. Never goes in the woods without a gun. But anyway, he went all the way back to the house and got his gun and came back out there, and that dog still had the deer baited up. And when he got close to him, he caught the deer. Mm. And he wound up killing the deer. So now he's cooking deer meat for that dog every day. And I told him, I gave him the wrong dog. I was going to have to take that one back.
Bill, is there anything you want?
Well, I think it is interesting that the way they work with cow dogs here in Florida, because of the contrast in terrain. They need the cow dogs because they've got the brush, and the cow dogs drive the cattle out of the brush. But then they've got the open space, and the cow dogs hold the cattle in place so that the cowmen don't have to run their horses to death to catch the cattle, and the cattle don't run any more than they have to keep that valuable weight onto the cattle. And a good cow dog will hold the cattle in place without chasing it, and it won't go after hogs. Now, you may or may not know there, and y'all check me on this if I'm mistaken, but there are wild hogs in the woods down in Florida, and so a dog that is not good will come across a hog and think it's a cow and try to hurt it, and the hog's going to fight back. And a dog can get hurt and tore up pretty bad going after a hog. So you need to get your dog that will work with cattle and leave the hogs alone. And you got to get your cattle used to working with dogs. Is that correct? I've heard when I was working with the folks down in Brighton, they would bunch the cattle up and let the young cattle get practice working with dogs. Here, tell us about that.
They call it dog breaking them. A lot of people take young calves, or not young calves, but you know, a group of heifers or whatever, and put them in a small place where they can't get away, and just let those puppies bay them and bay them and bay them until they get where they just stand there. And that's called dog breaking them. And that's the way most people train the cattle. The dogs is mostly instinct, like Billy said there. They just have an instinct to go and herd up a bunch of cows and keep them in a bunch. And they'll circle them and circle them and circle them. And if one breaks, four or five dogs will go to that one cow and bring her back. She'll usually come right back in that bunch. And that's about the gist of it. But a good dog's worth several men on a horse.
Yeah, it might not be so obvious, but one of the things that makes us work as far as the task of the dog keeping the cattle in a bunch is that the cattle are herd animals, so they naturally want to be together, especially when they're in danger. And you see, they see the dog as a predator. The dog is a predator. So when I first started talking to the guys about dogs, especially Junior Mills, he'd say, this dog would start ringing those cattle. And I'm thinking, why are they ringing the cattle? Well, they're actually running rings around them. If you watch them, they'll run laps around that herd of cattle, and those cattle just get tighter and tighter and tighter. And they can, I've heard, I had guys tell me they just a couple of dogs can hold several, you know, 200-300 cattle for hours, really, especially once they're used to them.
Yeah.
Billy, could you talk a little bit about the lineage of your dog, how long they've been in your family and so forth, and how you get your, and maybe the rest of you can talk.
Thank you, George.
You want this?
I don't know. I started writing it down a few years back up there with Lacoochee. Got with Jack and two or three more, and, you know, we was going to try to trace a lot of dogs back to Dr. Tim Olson. And I got back to the house and just started making notes, you know, trying to remember back as far back as I could. But that same line of dogs I got was, of course, come from Daddy, and all them old timers traded and swapped dogs from around there. But I've had that same line of dogs ever since I left home, and as a young feller, and I've only bred to two outside lines in those dogs. And the first outside line was probably 25 years ago, and then the second time I bred outside of those dogs was. Those puppies was born in December of last year, and that puppy I got going out of those dogs now, I'm real proud of that line of dogs. But they're all solid dogs. I was telling Bob last Saturday, I had 1,564 head of stuff I'd just weaned, and me and two dogs and two other fellers gathered them and drove them about 2 miles, and we just rode along there and talked and smoked a cigar and drove them to the pens and done what we wanted to with them. And I start the cows, you know, when they got babies, and of course you got to be pretty particular. I've had some rank dogs that I had to, you know, keep back or either keep at the house and take puppies or an old gyp, you know, or whatever, and leave them rank ones. But once you train your cattle to respect a dog, and you start that calf while she's on that cow that high, when you wean them calves, I believe I could have went and penned them yearlings by myself. You know, it would have been embarrassing if they tore all the fence down for about 9 miles, but... That's what Jack's talking about. Your dog break them, but you start like you would with a child, you know, teaching him right from wrong. And you can, there's probably not nothing that you can't do with a good dog. And my dogs is pretty particular. For some reason, I don't know how far back that goes, but you can't pet none of them. And you can't get around my wife or my truck or my saddle or my horse. And if I want to go cow hunt, well, I can't put my horse in first because I have to go by myself because my dogs will bite you in there. Therefore, you won't go with me. You're mad. So I have to wait till last to get in the horse trailer. I got a 5-month-old puppy there. Well, about 7 months old that I just had to keep talking to the other Saturday when Bob was out there. He hadn't ever seen a stranger, I don't guess, you know.
They protect the horse is what he's saying. That dog would not let me within about, 8 feet of that horse.
Yes,
and it's really interesting. I've had a lot of the guys tell me that the dogs bond to their horse. They won't let anybody near that horse. And what's funny is that these dogs are, by the way, the word rank, the way these fellas use it, means aggressive. And these dogs will bite a bull right on the nose, whatever. They're really tough. But most of them, Jack's dog here is unusual. Most of them, You can't even take a picture of one, you know, you much less come up anywhere near it. They're like real scared of you. But they'll on the other hand, they'll attack a 1,500-pound, 2,000-pound bull.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another term that Billy used was jip. Everybody know what jip means? That's a female dog. It's just a slang term for female dog. Yes. Well, now I'll say a little bit about what I know, and that maybe let Jack talk some. But they're known as Louisiana dogs, and what I've read is they don't know if they came from the French settlers or from the Native Americans. Nobody's real clear on that. I think mostly it's said that they've come from the Native Americans, but you know, even with the Florida, what's known as the Southern Black Mouth Yellow Cur. Which people here in Florida just call cur dogs, they're not real sure about where they come from. I understand that there's actually a registered cur dog now, which is kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Jack, can you talk about Catahoulas?
Not much other than what you said, because I don't think anybody really knows the history of them. They're just dogs that have been here since forever, I guess. Maybe they were Native American dogs, or maybe they
still used for
maybe
them.
They, oh yeah, especially in Louisiana, that's about all they use out there. Now Texas, they have a similar dog out there to the what we call black mouth or South Florida yellow curs. The Texas dogs, you see a lot of those out there, same dog pretty much. But I don't know a whole lot about the leopard. The only experience I have with them was bad. I got bit several times.
One fellow that breeds dogs near Gainesville told me that Catahoula leopards have a very light blue eye, a pure Catahoula leopard, and he said he likes to mix in a little Catahoula leopard, but he says you can't get them too pure. A lot of them have eye trouble. They're blind, or they're really nervous dogs too. Like, I guess any purebred dog, a lot of times are nervous, but.
Yes, sir, and that's usually 99% of the time that's what I'll do. But what I was trying to get to, I feel confident that if my old dogs died out, which happened to me 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm building them back up, I feel pretty confident that I could take them two young dogs I got at the house and they'd have started without a leader. You know, they're just real nervous, aim-to-please type of dogs. Then it's runs in their blood, you know, and there's nothing more aggravating than a dog that'll quit on you, you know. I'd rather have a hard-headed dog, which tells me that's a nervous dog. I got to keep him busy and keep my hand on him. That tells me that's all right, you know, because I can always get him back. I can't beg him to go. I've no use for a dog like that. And if I'm fighting an old bull right here in middle of July and there's a water hole right there, I don't want him to quit that bull and go get water until I ride up there and hoop him off and take him to water. And I've gotten in trouble by my daddy and some old timers about that before, but that's also come to be in them dogs. They're there for you. If that puppy's nervous, that puppy's going with that old dog. I mean, it's about like me. I mean, about like you putting me with these fellas here on Saturday night. I'd let them be my leader. I'd just follow. Yeah, I see what the old.
Well, folks, is there any more questions? We need to wrap up and let the next group up, Wayne Martin and friends. Any more questions?
Yes.
One more. Yeah.
I'll talk to you about it in the woods. It's pretty dirty language sometimes. No, sir, again, you start with them from day one, first time you take him, it's best start him in the yard, let him know what come here is, and he'll know that when you take him to work. And a cow whip's the handiest thing in the world, about like any other tool that we use. The noise of the cow whip, and you all you got to do is just roll your whip out there. You ain't got to touch him or nothing else, and he'll go to respecting that at a very young age.
If you do touch him with it, though, it usually clears the hearing up real quick.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that.
And there are some people that use shock collars to train
right.
dogs.
Right.
In other words, if they don't come back, they hit the shock collar, and, boy, they yip really loud. Yeah, generally what people have told me is you can teach a dog to come back, but you can't teach them to
That's
go.
Right.
They
got
to
right.
have it in them naturally to want to go. But
yep.
So what you're, most of what the teaching is, come back and behave.
That's right.
Okay, thanks a lot. Billy Davis, George Altman, and Jack Gillen. Stick around, we got some great music coming right up.